Hello, friends. It's great to have you with us today. We're glad you are joining us for this week's podcast. This week, we are visiting with Dustin Frost, the director of the Region 8 Veteran Business Outreach Center, also known as the VBOC. The VBOC is an incredibly valuable asset that we have here in Montana, specifically in Billings, housed under the Billings Area Economic Development Agency, also known as Big Sky Economic Development. Once again, I am Ryan Lucco, Community Employment Coordinator for the VA Montana Healthcare System and the Homeless Vet Recovery Program, and your current host for the Montana Joining Community Forces Career and Transition Support Project podcast. Montana Joining Community Forces, better known as Montana JCF, is a statewide coalition of support for service members, veterans, and their families delivered through six functional key service areas. The key service areas are health and wellness, career, family and youth, housing, legal, and financial services. Each of these service areas have been put into play to support some of the toughest challenges our Montana service members, veterans, and their families face. The Career Key Service Area is a designated effort under Montana JCF that addresses this very broad category of career support, supporting individuals with education and training, employment, and small business ownership resources, connections, and supportive events. We also assist employers in their efforts to find, hire, and sustain service member, vet, and spouse talent through the Montana JCF Employer Support Network. This Career Transition Support Project and the podcast is the newest piece of the Career Key Service Area. We trust that the information shared in this podcast will be valuable information to help those of you out there who are in some sort of transition as it relates to your career. You may be thinking about transitioning to Montana after military service. You may be living in Montana looking for a new opportunity in the public or private sector, or you may be navigating through some trials and frankly, you don't know what to do next. These are all common transition points for us in the military and veteran space that can be difficult, and we want to make sure organizations and individuals' stories are being captured, highlighted, and shared with you to help you in your journey. The team that comprises the JCF Career Key Service Area has the ability to assist you in whatever it is you are navigating through as it relates to your career and or transition. Because over 10% of the population in Montana consists of individuals who have served in the military, we recognize that our state and communities reflect our veterans population's ability to thrive. And this is our why. We recognize that career is an essential factor in thriving, thus giving us the why or the reason we are bringing you this podcast weekly. A large part of our support includes helping those individuals through challenges associated with military service or just life in general. We recognize that if we are dealing with past trauma, significant stress, anxiety, relationship issues, or maybe it's just health in general, that there will be difficulties sustaining a job or being successful in a work environment, or as applicable today, being successful in business ownership. So today we have Dustin Frost, who I mentioned is the executive director of the Veterans Business Outreach Center, a grant-funded SBA program housed in Billings and supporting three states. So thank you for joining us today, Dustin. It's great to have you here with me.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Well, Dustin, we're seeing a trend on this podcast. Last week, it was Blake from Billings and the Veterans Navigation Network. And today, man, we have you also in Billings. What's up with all these good news stories from organizations doing awesome things for vets in Billings?
Hey, there's some great people in Billings, but really all across our state. I mean, we've got, you know, with the percentage of veterans in our population, I mean, it just like once you dip your toe in the water in the veteran ecosystem in Montana, like you just start to find it everywhere. So yeah, I'm excited to be in Billings to get connected with other with people like Blake.
Yeah. Well, Dustin, I don't know if you know the story, but I say that lightheartedly about Billings because I actually love Billings. I love Billings so much that I lived there for 3 weeks prior to finding out I was being deployed in 2003 with the Montana Army National Guard. And after the deployment, I didn't make it back to Billings. So, but I do absolutely love Billings. So again, thank you for joining us. So Dustin, let's start by having you give the listeners an idea of your background and your connection to the military.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm from Montana originally. Military connection was I was going to school at the University of Montana, getting a wildlife biology degree of all things. And I was, and it was about, 2003, and had a lot of friends that were in ROTC, that were doing the Army National Guard. Let's be honest, things in Iraq were really eaten up and turning in a negative direction. And at that time, the National Guard was being called on often, as you are well aware, at that time. And so I had some friends that were going to deploy, and service to the country was always something that I cared about. I would say when I was young, I was maybe too stupid to realize that I should have, that this was the way that I needed to serve. And so I saw that my friends were doing that, and man, I did not want to be on the sidelines, frankly, to be honest, when as things were heating up, and I did not want to look back at my life and say, man, I didn't sign up at that time. And so, yeah, I enlisted in the Montana Army National Guard right out of college. Originally thought I was going to do the officer candidate route, but my career was getting started, and I was swamped in politics at the time, and so decided instead to stay enlisted, and became and after like basic training and that kind of thing, I really saw that there was a need for or saw the impact, frankly, that that the chaplain corps has on service members, and so I decided, you know what, I'll stay enlisted, and I'll go this route of being a chaplain's assistant. So got in and then served 6 years in the Montana Army National Guard in that role.
Awesome. Well, that's certainly a connection that we have without having that actual connection. Interesting how those things kind of transpire. So Dustin, great. Thank you for helping us get to know you a little bit more. I love your story. We've had a chance to talk on several occasions. So thank you for sharing that with our listeners today. So naturally, when someone serves as the director of an entity that's responsible for training and educating veterans on how they can become successful business owners, I think this individual must have some pretty good knowledge or extensive experience as a business owner himself. We've already established the military connection. Can you help us understand the business connection now by sharing your story as a business owner?
Sure. Yeah. So after school, spent time, as I said, in politics. And really, I actually think that's a great early introduction ground to business ownership. I was doing campaign politics, and frankly, any political campaign is you basically start over $1 million business in about 10 months. And so that was really a great learning ground for me. I then moved into, started a political consulting company with a partner of mine. And so we worked with a ton of candidates, elected officials from county government up to statewide elected office. And so we did that for a time. We really started to specialize in sort of direct mail voter contact. And so we found here in Billings a mail shop, which is the outfit that every piece of mail, probably that you call junk mail, it ends up without a stamp on it in your box, goes through a mail shop, right? And so so we had that. And then after a couple of years, actually found then a print shop here in Billings. So the Alpha Graphics store business center here in Billings was for sale, and we purchased that. It actually, here in Billings, is the 10th largest Alpha Graphics in the country. So it's a franchise print and marketing firm. And so we had around 32 employees helping other businesses around kind of the Billings region, and really even statewide. And so got a chance to then connect with other business owners, and really got the bug then. I love being around business people. I love being around people that are taking risks, that are addressing the most unique challenges every single day. And it's only a thing that that you understand if you've been in business, if you've owned your own business. And so, yeah, I sold that business and then was kind of looking for another business to buy. And I looked at a bunch and never really found one that really felt like the right fit. And then I saw this role open up at Big Sky Economic Development to connect with entrepreneurs around the region, but really that put it up to a whole different level for me is to connect with veteran and military spouse entrepreneurs. And so that became, really the impetus behind me saying, you know what, this is a right fit. And man, I am certainly biased, but I think veterans and military spouses that have businesses are the higher performing, the highest performing businesses in our communities. And we see that. Heck, and I'll probably mutilate the data because I don't have it exactly in front of me, but I think in Montana, it's roughly that the average small business employs like, call it 10 and a half people. The average veteran-owned small business employs, I think, almost 12 people, right? And so I think that's a reflection of the impact that veteran business owners have.
Yeah, excellent. So naturally, this role for you makes great sense. And I know that I've appreciated working with you on various collaborative projects. And my experience working with the VBOC actually goes back to shortly after it first launched. And you and I have talked about that. But it's been great for me, both in the ability to add a robust piece to this statewide career transition support ecosystem. But it's also given me some valuable tools that can help me in my extracurricular life outside of my role as the community employment coordinator for the VA. So what you just shared helps us understand the why that you appreciate being a part of the VBOX team. Do you want to elaborate on that at all, Dustin?
The only other piece on the why in this space is that I actually think so. Certainly, we all, especially in a state like Montana, we all want to support veterans, right? It's about, you know, thank you for your service and all that kind of thing. I actually think that we, in our communities, should have another perspective when it comes to helping veterans to find significance after they serve. And it's not just about serving them. It's completely self-interest. I think when veterans are finding that significant purpose after they get out of the military, and they are leading organizations in our communities, our communities are better places to live. Our communities are stronger. They're economically better. From a community standpoint, they're just better because these individuals who have led and worked in some of the most complicated environments in the world, gone through some of the most painful struggles. Those are the kind of resilient people that we need in our communities, especially, you know, we see it certainly in a time like this, in this COVID situation. So, I actually think that's more my why. I'm certainly going to put my hand over my heart when the flag goes up and say, man, we need to support our vets and man, I love them. I got to tell you, we got a self-interest as well it's a disservice to our country when veterans are not thriving, when they are not finding that significant purpose.
I love that. That's a great point. Just by listening to your passion and your why, certain helps me, and I've known this for a while, obviously since I met you, but I know that by working with you, that they certainly have the right guy in those director's shoes for the VBOX. So as you talk about veterans reconnecting to purpose and service and being of service in some capacity outside of the uniform, I can certainly see that passion and zeal from you in your continued service as a director for the VBOX. So thank you. So Dustin, let's shift focus a little bit and have you talk about the trends you may be seeing in the veterpreneur space. So I gotta get you to clarify this for me. Is it veterpreneur or vetpreneur?
I'm not a guy who likes to make up new words. So we just saw it recently. They're founders, right? These are people. These are founders of companies, and just so happens that they serve in the military. So I won't pick a word there. Whatever you want to call them, they're impressive people.
Okay, then I'm going to call it veterapreneur.
Got it.
So let's talk about the trends you might be seeing from your work in the three states. So we mentioned Region 8 VBOC. It covers Montana, obviously, but we also Wyoming and Utah is covered underneath Region 8 VBOC.
Trends. Yeah, interesting. So I think let's start at the top broadly. That I would say, let's be honest, the reason that this program exists is that veterans are getting into business ownership at dramatically lower levels than they have in the past. So after World War II, over half of World War II vets had owned a business at some point in their career. The Vietnam era was about a third. And our generation of post 9/11 veterans is less than 5%. And so from my standpoint, that trend is the one that matters the most, because that's the point where I see we in this country are missing out if veterans are not getting into that. And so I think, you know, some of those things, so then narrowing that down, then some of those challenging trends are, you know, some studies from Syracuse University, I think. The New York Fed actually put out that like veterans are having a little bit harder time accessing capital when they start businesses than the rest of the population. So that's an important piece for us to know. And some of the reasons for that, I think that I get to see fairly often is that, I mean, let's be honest, what matters to get a loan, a piece that matters to get a loan is credit. And if I have been serving 20 years in the military and I have moved every 2 years, it may be the case that like, I don't even own a car. Like I didn't buy a house, right? Because it's just too difficult when I'm moving all of the time. And so it's not that I have like a low credit score, it's that I just don't have much credit history. And so some of it is, I think, and this study pointed to that is a unique challenge that veterans are facing, that also the civilian population and, you know, bankers, et cetera, may not understand. And so they quickly see like, oh, no credit history, like no loan, right? And so I think that that's a trend that filters into the rest of the space, that we, as a, you know, the civilian world, we don't quite get this transition journey that any veteran is taking. And so I think that's a trend that I hope to focus in. So that would be one that I would really dial into, is that like that transition challenge impacts a lot of things. Like I wouldn't have thought, being in transition affects whether or not I get a loan, but that can be the case.
Yeah. Wow. That's certainly a side of the equation that I haven't really considered. I've got my own, you know, financial wellness principles that, you know, will create their own challenges in that light. But that is certainly really something to consider. And even if someone, or as someone's transitioning out of military service and they get to choose the boots to business track of their TAP, their transition assistance program, right? It's probably too late in the game for them to even start thinking about, oh, hey, I need this, you know, X, Y, and Z in order, right, to be able to be successful going outside and then starting that process.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, yeah, you can't go backwards, but I do think that because if someone is reaching out, like going to the Boots to Business class and then understanding that, wait, there are resources available, I think that that's the other thing that was in that New York Fed study, which was simply, it was like at the bottom and was like the anecdotal evidence, but I felt like was the most powerful thing that stood out to me, is that anecdotally, heck, I mean, you get it. We're veterans, we're service members. We see what the challenges are in front of us. So if I need to get a loan, that's the challenge in front of me. And by God, I'm going to kick in that door and I'm going to figure it out myself. And I'm going to do it and I will get it done. And it's me, 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 me. And I'm all alone in that. And when that is the case, and this is referenced in this study, when I do it alone and I show up with those challenges that I don't realize I have, that credit is an example, that challenge, I apply for the loan and I get denied. And then I realize, oh shoot, I have to go get help. So I go get help and then I come back and apply again. There's on most loan application forms, it asks you the question, have you been denied a business loan before? You check that box, yes, I've been denied. That can actually impact me in the underwriting process then, right? I mean, if you're the banker and looking at that and saying like, wait, somebody else, another banker saw that this guy has a problem. And so they didn't give him a loan. So I'm not going to either. And I realize that's simplifying it a little bit, but I think that's the lesson. That's the lesson I preach at our 2-day Boots to Business class all of the time, is that if you take nothing else from the class, it's that reach out. Like, the businesses that succeed, and I even say like measure success by just get started, the one versus the ones that just keep running into the brick wall and don't ever move and don't ever start, is simply that they ask for help, that they don't do it by themselves.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about a lot of the resources that we have in Montana, specifically to support that journey. So speaking about, I guess, the value for us in Montana, I look a lot at the intrinsic value for vets wanting to be here. And some of that is the recreation, the friendly nature of our people, the amazing seasons, sometimes, right? But I've noticed that compared to other states, we perhaps fall short in the business incentives or even benefits for veterans to live here. So Dustin, what is it that vets can be doing to advocate for stronger vet business ownership benefits or incentives to entice individuals to move here or promote new and innovative business ideas?
Interesting. I hadn't thought about the question in that way. So there are some states. Frankly, I think that perhaps is the way that I'll answer this, is that I think a shift in mindset at our state to not sort of just rest on our laurels about the like, oh, we got, you know, we're second in the country for the percentage of our state that's a veteran. And so therefore we shouldn't do anything to compete in this space. And so I think that that's the mindset shift that I hope that our state starts to do, because states are aggressive. I mean, as an example, we are only one of now 6 states. So all the other states, we are now only one of 6 states that still tax military retirement income as other income. So in fact, I think a majority of states actually put it to 0. So recently, in fact, in my region, Utah just passed a law to cut military retirement income to 0. And so that would be one example that other states are getting aggressive. And my hope, I mean, there is a bill at the legislature this time that made it through the House, and I hope it gets through the Senate to begin to knock that down. But frankly, it got watered down a little bit. It's delayed. And I think just an understanding that, man, like, as I said earlier, we, the state of Montana, our communities, we need more veterans, more in particular, think about a retiree, you know, like, hey, guess what? This is not like I'm retiring and I'm 70 years old and I'm going to go play golf or something. You know, these are individuals like if I got in at 18 years old and I retire at 20 years old, right? That's by my math, even with my wildlife biology math, that's 38 years old. These are people that are starting a brand new career and they're leaders. These are people that my next door neighbor, well, he just moved, but my next door neighbor, a retired Army colonel who came to Montana immediately, like 4 years ago, immediately started a successful business laying fiber for Google all over the country that he, I think a year and a half ago, sold to the guy that used to own the Houston Oilers, right? I mean, and this is a young guy who is who's now looking to do what's next and get involved in organizations in our community. And so, yeah, I think instead of picking one at a time, like I just think that a mindset shift of we shouldn't be resting on our laurels, that we're still going to be at number two in the country for veterans. I think we have challenges in the state. I think that we have, what are we, fourth in the country for percent of our population that's over 65 years old? Like, where are we going to attract this talent from? I hope we attract this talent from transitioning service members, and let's not also forget about their spouses. In fact, that example of the Army colonel is, you know, his family came to Billings as well. And so so his spouse finding a significant impact and purpose in our community is powerful also.
Yeah, and I think that also brings to light the importance of veterans speaking out for veteran issues too, because we can't expect our public officials to make those decisions for us. I mean, we have to, as a vet community, stand up strong and tall and advocate for those things that will really make a difference. So yes, excellent. Thank you, Dustin. I hate
to interrupt, but relating to that, I think part of that is also just I think these impressive individuals who have served our country post 9/11, helping them to tell their stories more is helping then the civilian population of our state understand who these people are. I think it's too often we look past the fact that individual who has served 20 or 30 years in the military, it is, in fact, let's pick 20 years. They've served 20 years in the military. That individual has been at war for that entire time. That's unprecedented in the history of our country. We did not have had service members who have been in that kind of environment, that kind of world, who have been at war for that long. And man, we need to start celebrating these people. They are leaders who have done impressive things in the worst environments imaginable. And so some of that, just like educating our communities about their neighbors, which I think, you know, probably the other civilians in our neighborhood don't even know that that this guy that moved in was an impressive, Army colonel who probably saw combat, I'm guessing, at least 2-3 times in that time frame. So anyway, sorry to interrupt and go off on
that. No, you're good. I appreciate the input, Dustin. So I would say that one of my favorite aspects of the work I do for the VA is coming across vets who have struggled to a varying degree, but are getting back on their feet, and they just have this innate desire to go out and make a difference in the world. And sometimes this difference involves starting a business. I've actually had experience working with individuals in this space. So really, there's a stigma out there, I think, that says in order to start a business, you have to have X, Y, and Z in order. But really, starting a business can be as simple as having a skill or knowledge that's useful to others. I mean, you kind of talked about that earlier. And a lot of times the other chips fall into play. So, you know, other people recognize their passion, their skills, and they want to help support that business. or, you know, whatever that situation looks like. But would you, I guess, would you agree with this notion that you don't have to have X, Y, and Z in place?
Yeah, certainly, Ryan. I think that the best businesses that I know of, they are individuals who focused intently on problems and saw problems that they could then solve. And frankly, I think that because that's the case, like individuals who have lived challenges and problems and overcome challenges and problems have an ability to work to solve those things. They see those problems directly and have lived them and then can directly impact them. That's what creates big, valuable businesses.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. So I'm going to encourage, with that being said, anyone out there that just has an idea or a useful skill or a desire to be of value in their community to reach out to the VBOC and Dustin to talk about the prospect of starting a business. You never know what could happen out of that. There are a lot of wonderful stories out there. I know Dustin knows them. I have, I know people with wonderful stories, especially in this vet space who we're talking about today, who have gone from the daily grind to successful business ownership, sort of your veteran rags to riches stories, if you will. And when I say riches, I don't necessarily mean financial riches, but the riches that come from having significant meaning in and connection to what you're doing. And I think that's a big part of our conversation that we're having today. So Dustin, how can someone get in contact with you for more information if they have an interest in having a conversation or learning more about what you can support them with?
Yeah, certainly. So probably start, you can see all of our information on our website, VBOC Region 8, the number 8.com, VBOC Region 8.com. I'd also recommend if you follow us on social media, just search for Big Sky Veterans Business Outreach Center on Facebook. We're regularly updating that with the events and things that we're having. And then at the end of the day, I probably won't give you my phone number, but not because I don't want to talk to you, but because the quickest way to talk to me is to email me first. So that's Dustin at bigskyeda.org. A second to remember it, Dustin at bigskyeda.org. And that way I can get organized, make sure that I set aside a time to talk to you. And so that I would say that's the easiest, just because remember there's two of us here in this program covering three states. And so we're helping veterans across three states. There's only two of us. If I'm there answering the phone all the time, somebody's getting missed. So it helps me to organize myself if you just shoot me.
All right, wonderful. Well, we are very fortunate to have the VBOC here in Montana. And that is a wrap on this week's version of the JCF Career Transition Support Podcast. So thank you very much for joining me, my friend. It's been a pleasure having you here with me and with our listeners today.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So if you have any recommendations for future podcasts, and Dustin, this could be for you too, as well as our listeners, or would like to be a part of what we are doing, please send the JCF team a message to the Contact Us page at the Montana JCF website, which is www.montanajcf.org. And the JCF team will connect with you. Dustin, we'll talk to you soon, brother. Thank you for joining us and have a great rest of your week, friends.